teaching at our community college, Cabrillo College, for 45 years, and has currently emeritus status there. He's been teaching for 38. He's published some books. But mention some here: the Chinese gold, the Chinese in the Monterey Bay region, the Japanese of the Monterey Bay region of prehistory, and he's the co-author of Postgraduate: A Natural and Cultural History, and Chinatown Dreams: The Life and Photographs of George Lee. So you see, he's been really working on local history for a very long time. He's been selected by Cabrillo College faculty, students, and staff for the College Teaching Excellence Award. And he's been awarded selected twice by the readers of The Good Times, which is a weekly local publication, as the best college teacher. So I assure you, you're in for a treat. He's going to talk about some intrigue that's involved in incorporating the city of Santa Cruz.
I hope you won't mind, but we're going to take the PowerPoint equipment away. I want to show you some retro stuff here. This is a slide projector. This is an overhead projector. God willing, they'll both work. Matt and I were just talking ahead of time. I told him that I hated PowerPoint, and I do. I think PowerPoint sucks. No disrespect for what you just saw, but it has taken over. Well, that guy has taken over, the guy who sells PowerPoint. So,
the one that can't count
his money, you know, that guy. I'm going to be plugging things in. I'll sort of... When I was asked if I would come down and talk to math guys, I said, you know, I love math. But I didn't realize... I had to look up cadastral. And it was interesting to me that it's right adjacent to the word cadaver. In the it's the next word down in the dictionary. And I thought, oh, what am I in for? This is the founding document of this city. I want to talk more about that in a second. I'm just going to vamp a little here and plug in a couple of things, and we'll see if we can make this work. Is San Bernardino County represented today?
Yeah.
Easy. I grew up in Hollister. I'm a Hollister hay baler. I even have my belt buckle on here. San Bernardino County was recently the fastest growing county in the state, but that's all changed now since, you know, some things happened. But actually, John Hodges, classmate of mine.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. That thing about 45 years? No. I've been teaching for 45 years. I've been at Cabrillo for 38. And I retired full-time 6 years ago, and my wife continues to say to me, usually in the evening when I start lecturing, she says, hey, can you go find somebody to talk to? So, or she'll say, yeah, she'll go. Yeah, I've heard that. See, now I'm pretty sure that there's no one in here. Okay, I have two stories I want to tell you. Multi-technology here. You can buy an ectographic projector on the internet now for about $100. That ectographic new was $900. Don't look for bulbs, I got them all. I went out and bought every damn bulb for an ectographic machine that I can touch. Probably a mistake. Okay, so what I'm going to do, I got two stories I want to tell you. Because they said, you can talk about, you know, whatever you want. The two stories, first of all, Santa Cruz County. Now, you're all county-based folks, right? Santa Cruz County is the second smallest county by area in the state of California. You wouldn't know it by the technology that we... My God, did you see all that stuff we can do? My insurance company is using those orthographic maps, those orthographic photographs. And what they've done is they came to my house and they said, you don't have 30-foot fire defensible clearance around your house. I don't know if you're seeing this happen, but for those of us who live in wildfire-prone areas, a lot of this information is being used in ways that I just assume it wasn't. But never mind. Okay, so the first story, and this is, and I'll throw this all over the floor. That's part of using. Hold on, we'll aim it. Gotta aim it. Right, here we go. We're going back, not far. Hold on. There we go. You know, Bill Gates has waves. Unbelievable. Well, now, who's good? Who's good with their hands? Anybody in here good with their hands? The lens just fell out. Hold on. What's that? No, I understand that here. I understand exactly who did it. I just want to fix it. Hold on. Because I can't do it without the maps. So, we got somebody that's good. You good?
I thought you took it out on purpose.
Is your Swiss Army knife on you?
Yeah, I do.
Well, because it sits right in there. All right, while he's doing this is my techie. What
county? Contra Costa County.
All right. Let's see, what do I know about Contra Costa County? Not an awful lot.
I think you need some duct tape.
In the meantime, let me set you up.
Let me be
sure. Or you could just stand there and hold it. Darn close. Whatever you're doing, it's darn close. Well, see, while he's doing that, I can. Sorry.
Oh, gosh. During an earthquake.
It's going to work. You just about got it. You know, you just wedge it in there.
Use some duct tape.
Nothing can be fixed by duct tape.
Yes.
Yeah, well, you need a screwdriver in this. It's really complicated.
You got a hammer?
I'm going to get a piece of duct tape. You got duct tape on it? Always have duct tape. Never go anywhere without duct tape.
I left mine at the house.
I got two pieces.
Sandy, she's got some duct tape.
You just take this. I take groups overseas a lot, and one of the things you always pack, always, to go anywhere, is duct tape. Okay, very quickly, what I want to show you is how Santa Cruz County came about. It is based on forgery and fraud, which I believe, if we can establish that for a fact, it rolls everything back and the county cancels itself out. All the employees are terminated, and then we can do something about that building. Alright, quick setup. Mexican California, Spanish California, Monterey was the capital, right here. Alright, what ultimately happens because of a vacuum is that there are more Yankees, non-Mexicans, many of them illegal immigrants. This was part of Mexico. Many of the Yankees that were here are listed in the census, taken by the Mexican government as illegal, no passport. It's a tradition. Okay, Santa Cruz became a concentration of Yankees. More foreigners, non-Mexicans, lived in the Santa Cruz area than anywhere else in California, in the province of California. Part of that was the natural resources. We got lumber. A lot of redwood was being cut in the 40s, 1840s. And so I have to set that dynamic up because the creation of this county is rather odd, as you will see. And also, this all, I hope, will explain the sort of inherent oddness that seems to permeate the place anyway, right? Okay. In 1850, the state constitution, constitutional convention was in Monterey. They decided to use counties as the primary operational entity, right? And they asked General Mariano Vallejo, who was probably the smartest dude around, and he was locally born, I mean born in California, they asked him to design the counties, to draw them up. In early 1850, this is what he proposed for this area. Notice that Mariposa County comes all the way over to the Coast Range here. He proposed a Monterey County that included the watershed of the Salinas River, the watershed of the Pajaro River, and went all the way up to San Francisco County on the north, and went along the ridge here, but followed the watershed. When that proposal came out, the Yankees living in Santa Cruz said, what does that mean? It means we have to go to Monterey to do our county business. Monterey's a Mexican town. We're not going. We're not going to do that. We're going to get our own damn county. Well, now, you have to keep in mind, gold rush is cooking. You know, people, there's mostly women and children in this area at that time. There's a couple of guys that can read and write, and they circulated a petition. And the petition was to form a county that looks like this. That is, going north to Año Nuevo, up to the ridge, and down to actually south of the Pajaro River in the Vega Hills, right in here. And they would have their own county. Now, that petition, let me share with you what the petition looks like. Here's actually, that's the Mexican side of the petition. There's 142 signatures on the petition. Now, those 142 signatures, I had a grapho analyst go through the petition, signed by three different people. 142 signatures signed by three different people. Now, most of the people on this list weren't even here. They were up in the Sierra in the gold rush, right? But we looked at their biographies and we said, wait a minute, he wasn't even here in 1850 early. Okay. So what they did was they took this petition and the little proposal that you saw, and they took it to the legislature, which at that time was meeting in San Jose. The winter, 49-50, really wet, a lot of mud, a lot of drinking. It's known as the legislature of 1,000 drinks, actually, in the history books. You have to overcome living in San Jose some way or another. Right. I see you're meeting in Kern County next year. I'll take care of them in a little while. Okay. So they looked at the petition and they said, okay, those people down in that area want their own county. And what they wanted was, they wanted it to be called Santa Cruz County. Well, what the committee eventually issued forth was they changed the northern boundary to the southern boundary of San Francisco County. They left it that way. They didn't go to Año Nuevo like with that, but they went in the river. They put the county boundary between Monterey and Santa Cruz counties, this proposal, in the middle of the Pajaro River. Well, this will make your cadastral shrivel up because the river wanders around. And one time your parcel's in one county, and the next time it's in another county. Well, that's just part of the problem. They divided this valley in half, which has created orphans on both sides of the river. Pajaro Valley would be an enormous, enormous political entity if it was in one piece. It's not. Monterey County looks at this part of their county as Siberia. And so does Santa Cruz County. So you've got this stupid line. I did a lecture recently on the 10 greatest disasters in the history of this place. I put that as number one. You know, from the earthquake, Loma Prieta, nothing. This has created more political difficulties than maybe any other single thing that ever happened in the history of this place. Okay, but notice what they did. They didn't call it Santa Cruz County, they called it Rancho Forte County. Well, those of you who can't read back here, it's not focused very well, and I'm not going to touch it. So far, so good. All right, a little bit better. So it was called Rancho Forte County, and on the 18th of February, 1850, the county was born, as was Monterey County. Monster. Monterey County, huge. Sprawling everywhere. And of course, for those people from San Benito County, in 1874, the people living in the San Benito River Valley broke away and created their own county, which is San Benito County, and took this part of it off. Nobody lived there at the time, hardly. And interestingly, notice the intent. Santa Cruz County was born as a, how should we say, a reaction to being part of a county that was where the majority of the people were Mexican. This was Yankee Town, boy. This was Yankees. And if you look around, you'll see Victorians. You'll see, you know, you go up to Holy Cross Church. They didn't even call it Santa Cruz. It's called Holy Cross. Everything got Yankee-fied here. And then Monterey kept their adobes, and then Santa Cruz tore them down. There's really an interesting difference between the two places. So for starters, the county itself is founded on forgery. All right? Now, I don't know what that means. I don't know that anybody really cares. I like the, whenever the county comes to talk to me about something, I always point that out. You're talking about roads wandering? I live on one of those roads. And the road that she was mentioning, where the road is here and there. and then, go ahead, punch it in, punch in the address on Excite or Optima or one of those map generating things. They'll have you going into bushes. Because their maps aren't coordinated with hardly anything at all. All right. Now, but the more important story, here's the more important story. And that is the issue of private property and ownership. This county had most of the arable land and most of the flat land was tied up in Mexican grants. There are no Spanish land grants in this county. There are very few Spanish land grants in the state. If you find yourself saying Spanish land grant, bite your tongue. Most of you don't have Spanish land grants. They're Mexican land grants. And most of them, and these grants were all given away, and by 1844, 1845, they had been granted to various folks. So you can see that much of the county, except for the real steep stuff, where you have trouble matching the ortho maps with the, you know, that well, doesn't look like an acre. Well, it's not. It's kind of steep. There's a lot of air. Okay, so here's the deal. Now, you've got to know this stuff. You just have to. When the Yankees came into California and they discovered that the Mexicans had given away most of the good property on the coast, they didn't like that. They didn't like that at all. So, despite the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo of 1848, which guaranteed the Mexican citizens the rights that they were enjoying prior to that date, the United States government came in and said, well, we've got to establish boundaries here. We've got to establish, and you've got to prove that you really own what you're on. Well, if you've read them, you've read the descriptions. The land grant, well, from that big rock over there, to that cow skull over there, to that tree over there, more or less. Well, more or less isn't good enough for Uncle Sam. And it's certainly not good enough for you. I'm in a room where more or less is not good enough. Your tolerance is set real tight, right? So you understand what I'm talking about. Uncle Sam comes in here and says, well, who owns what? And, you know, older guy, Rafael Castro, would put his hand up and say, well, I own about 6,000 acres out here near Aptos. Or his sister, Martina, who owns, well, right around 45,000 acres. But you see, it was for growing cows. And cows don't eat redwood trees. And they, I mean, it's, you know, it's not, they're not, it wasn't very valuable to them. They just said, well, from that mountaintop to over there. Okay. So Uncle Sam came in and said, ultimately, even though the consultants that came in said otherwise, Uncle Sam took the position that all the grants were fraudulent. And the grantee had to prove The burden of proof was on the grantee to prove that they owned it. Well, they had a document from 1834. I mean, it's not like they had a little fireproof safe in the house, and nor did they have file cabinets. And then again, maybe it had a piece of paper. Maybe it was in the archives in Mexico City. Maybe it was in the archives in Monterey. But the burden of proof was on the Californios to prove this. All right. They set up the land commission. You know about this. You have to. In your business, if you don't know about the land commission, oh, my God. You should give your money back. Give the check back. Don't. Land commission, formulated by the United States Congress in 1851, starts meeting in January of 1852. Where? Whoa, too slow. No, aren't there any requirements for your job? San Francisco. San Francisco, California, they met there from 1852 to 1856. What you had to do is you had to go to San Francisco. There were three men that sat at a behind the table. It was conducted in English, and you had to prove that you owned the property that you claimed on. And the lawyers were there all over like flies. Because they would say, ooh, you need help? And then they would say, well, yes, but I have no money. Oh, but you have 44,000 acres. So if you promise to give me 10,000 acres, no matter how this turns out, I'll go ahead. In other words, these people had to go. Now, what's important about this story for the city of Santa Cruz is that most of the grantees that you see here went to the commission. But you'll notice there is a big blank space. See this right here? Right here. Now, that was part of the Vienna Branch of 40, one of the three cities founded by the Spanish in California. There's only three cities founded by the Spanish. San Jose, Los Angeles, and Branch of 40. Most historians like to say the Branch of 40 was the failure of the three. I would like to suggest that Branch of 40 is probably the success, and that the other two could be considered in many ways failure. You don't got no big traffic jam sitting over there in East Santa Cruz right now. Well, you do kind of out on the highway, but not in it. All right. So, the rules were that you had to go to the commission to get your title cleared. Now, what had happened? During the late 40s and early 50s, there was an alcalde. His name was William Blackburn, and he was in control of this place, kind of like the mayor. I mean, a lot more juice than a mayor. And he started to sell lots to people in Santa Cruz, particularly down on the flat by the river. The Indians, those who were still left, were sitting on the bluffs on both sides, laughing hysterically as they watched the Yankees coming in and building a town next to the river, which came up every winter. So, they're buying and selling lots, they're doing all this stuff, so the land commission's doing its work. And every once in a while, the secretary of the land commission said, you heard anything from anybody in Santa Cruz yet? Anybody bring anything?
Nope.
So, all of a sudden, in 1856, wham, the commission shuts down. And the guys in Santa Cruz are looking around going, did you go? No, I didn't go. Did you? They didn't go to the land commission. They don't have title. By law, what happens if the thing doesn't go to the land commission or if the land commission rejects it? What happens? Public domain. It becomes part of the belongs to the United States government. In 1856, all of Santa Cruz became United States government property. Now what? Meanwhile, they got a town. They got buildings. Well, not very substantial buildings. They didn't have clear title. I cannot tell you how important that is to the history of California. Right. You all fuss around with your boundaries and stuff, but then go down to the title companies, and title companies have enormous juice in this state, and one of the reasons is clear title was desperately needed at the beginning. And it was, and in Santa Cruz, it didn't exist. They didn't have any title. There was no town, there was no city, there was no police department, there was no fire department, there's nothing. There's just a bunch of people sitting around going, what do I own? What do you own? We call them generically squatters.
Yeah.
Right? Homesteaders, nicer word.
Possessory interest.
And they have been buying and selling these properties, quitclaim deeds, going back and forth, sometimes three, four, five times. And all of a sudden everybody's going, we're not, the government owns this. That means then what? Ultimately, homesteaders are going to come in. So here's what they have to do, and this is what's such so cool about this story. They had to go to the state of California and incorporate and get an incorporation of the city. Since the city didn't exist, there was no city. They had to get the state to declare there was a city of Santa Cruz. So in 1866, they did that. One of the events that got them going was the flood of 1862. See, if you're a single property owner and you've got the river, which will come up every year, you've got no way to protect yourself. You need the collective oomph of a community to build levees or whatever you're going to do. All right. There was no FEMA then. Those were known as the good old days. FEMA, for us, was my neighborhood right now. We have a FEMA application in on our road. FEMA was and is still the original four-letter F word. One thing to get to disaster, it's another thing to deal with them. Elihu Anthony was the guy, one of the leaders of this, and he actually had the property up at the northern end of the town, and the river would get him first. So he built a little bulkhead. There's now a street called Bulkhead Street. I'm just, you know, waiting for the Santa Cruz contingent to wake up. All right. So, but then he found out that you can build a bulkhead, the river will go around, but then what does it do? It comes in behind and gets you anyway. So he began to push, and they all began to push to eventually incorporate, which they did in 1866. But now, what? Now, they've got to make a decision as to who owns what. This is the most incredible thing, because what this is, what this map is the end result of all the agreements. Do you understand? You deal with this all the time. Somebody says, well, you know, I originally thought I was over here, now you're over here. They agreed to this, and that means then that everybody that was involved in this, they checked each other off, and they bought in on the deal. Right? Okay, we'll accept these boundaries and these ownership plots, right, in exchange for the fact that we'll eventually send this to Sacramento, and Sacramento will eventually incorporate a city. This is the organic map of the city of Santa Cruz. Up until 1860, the survey was done in 66. Until this map, nobody knew who owned what. Well, they thought they did. There were armed conflicts. People got shot. People even wake up in the morning, a guy with a tent in the middle of your backyard. So they organized a settlers organization. That's sometimes spelled with a V called vigilantes, but so this was the end of it. And so what it does is it freeze frames some of the awareness. Look, there's an intersection. You have to go there. Let me show you a photograph or two if I get a chance. There is an intersection where 36 streets, well, okay, maybe not 36, maybe like five. In the convention business, you're known as the slump after lunch. Sorry, I'm just. If you understand, there's a dynamic, all the blood has gone to your stomach. And the cotton candy. Some of you probably went in and ate cotton candy. That's a big mistake. Okay, so this intersection right here. This intersection, actually, Elihu Anthony subdivided and sold off these lots. He sold them for $3.25 a piece. In the beginning. And then eventually these will be. This is the core of downtown. This is the upper plaza. This is where the church is, the mission. The Catholics were up there. And there were even Mexicans still going to church up here in the 1850s. So basically, the Methodists and all the other folks, they came down here. So in a sense, it's almost a tiered way of looking at the history of things. Because the Catholics got here first, right? The mission was here first. So in a sense, what they did is they built the town away from where there was still property available. $3. And of course, each year, the river, whatever. See, it shows the river on the map is over here. the river, hero. In fact, the river was all the way back to the bluff and then comes down through Neary Lagoon and a lot of other things and eventually goes into the ocean. This is floodplain. This is all floodplain, right? Okay, so in 1866, the United States Congress is petitioned to pass a law giving the property. See, you have a city. You have a city now. State made this a city. They have their map. So the United States Congress in 1866, July of 1866, and President signed a bill created, giving the property, which the government owned at that point, to the city. In other words, they had to transfer title from the United States government to the entity of the city of Santa Cruz, which then automatically, based on the deals, gave these people the 3.2, 1.8, whatever the acreage was.
By deed or by map?
What's that now?
By a deed or by a map?
By the map.
The map is a deed.
The map, well, eventually they will have deeds.
Okay.
And some of them already have deeds. Some of them had all these quitclaim deeds that were flying around. I mean, you're talking about a zoo. This is, and perhaps this explains some things later on in the history of Santa Cruz. The word zoo sometimes comes easily to those of us who are I'm not being disparaging, but there are other cities in the state that had to do this. Benicia had to do this. There's a number of places where they didn't go to the land commission because they didn't think they had to. And then all of a sudden they had to, get the title squared away. So in 1866, so what happens in 1866? Summer of 1866, building boom. Huge building boom. Bridges just, see, there was no, you didn't make an investment if you didn't own the property. Forget about going to the bank and getting a loan. You don't have clear title. You can't do that. But that's now. That wasn't then. There were no brick buildings in Santa Cruz. They were all wooden. All very transitory, very temporary. The one thing that they did do, which is interesting, they realigned the city. The main street of Santa Cruz was the one that was along the river. So they changed the name from Main Street to Front. And this was known as Willow Street, and they changed that to Pacific Avenue. They literally flipped the focus, because this street would, even though it doesn't show, they didn't take it quite right, but eventually Civic Avenue would go all the way to a wharf that was down, right outside the window. Not that wharf, similar. So anyway, 1866, building boom, brick building. And it's from that point that Santa Cruz begins to push. Not clear titles are very much to the advantage of the extractors, for example, lumber people. See, you don't have clear title, and you can get in here and log that sucker. So later you find out that you don't have title. Too bad, trees are gone. They don't want to ask you to put it back, right? Miners, limestone miners, same thing. This was an industrial city. Santa Cruz County was the second most important industrial county in the state of California in the 1870s, second only to San Francisco.
Wow.
This is a city of mills and factories and making stuff. All right, wow. And because it has boiling water, lots of resources, eventually tourism becomes, like you're participating in that part of it now. Let me show you, see if I have anything. Let's look specifically at some of these. The thing hasn't fallen off yet, which is rather surprising. Here's that intersection. You can't see it from where you are, but there you have the Waterfront Pacific Mission. Then eventually there'll be an extension that goes off this way. And of course, this was built almost, still a lot of wood frame stuff in here. Chinatown was down here on this street. When they flipped the streets and made this a secondary street, the rents went down and Chinatown moved over here. So Chinatown and Santa Cruz was over here. 1894, there was a big fire, huge fire. Burned down a lot of what you're looking at on that map, a lot of this triangular block right here. So the city passed an ordinance requiring you to build all the buildings out of bricks. And St. Andrew. You know about St. Andrew? St. Andrew was crucified this way. And we're paying for it from then on because the fault of San Andreas. and then the consequences. Be careful what you do. Anyway, in 1906, the brick buildings all fell down. And the last bunch of them actually fell down on October 17th, 1989. So the city has always been trying to contend with its disasters, imminent or otherwise. So let me show you a couple of slides. Let's see if this works. I put my little thingy. See? Ooh, good. It's going to work. Anyway, I probably have to kill some lights and maybe that orifice over there. Okay, hold on. For those of you that don't recognize your historical figure, I'm going to get that other thing out of the way. I'll get it out of the way. You'll see. See, if I don't use this projector, then I can't deduct it. I deduct it every year. The IRS says, God, you bought another ectographic. Yeah, right. Buying it every year. Come on, we're small potatoes. They're not after me. This is Isaac Graham. Isaac Graham, actually, probably the penultimate Yankee, hated Mexicans, called them greasers. We've named a number of things after him, as a Graham Hill Road. A lot of karma there, if you're interested in karmic things. People kill on Graham Hill Road all the time, but they don't know why. Well, I mean. So he's one of the heavies in this. Now, this is a photograph of Mission Hill, taken maybe 1856, 1857. This is the new Catholic Church. The Mission is right behind it, the old Adobe Church. And this is the Upper Plaza. For those of you that know, there's a school street here. And that's the river down there. Notice it's wandering all over wherever it wants to go. And that's East Santa Cruz on the other side. So the focus of the town shifts down onto the flat, resulting in, there it is, there's the old intersection. So this would be about 1857, 58 photograph, great photograph. I don't know what this is. I think it's bleeding. See, I can't get away from PowerPoint. It's bleeding out of that PowerPoint.
Is it?
Yep. Go away. You know, Bill Gates has got more juice than you and I can ever imagine. I mean, a guy can reach in and watching the other night on Donnie Deutsch's program, he seemed like a nice enough fella, you know. Unless you were on another team. So here's the intersection. So here's, this was Willow Street. Mission Street comes down here from the Mission. And this was Main Street. This was Main Street, Santa Cruz, prior to the survey. Right. This is what we call the Flatiron Building, because it was came to a point very much like the Flatiron Building in New York, and it got the same nickname for that reason. And ultimately, what will happen in the 60s, once they realign the town, Chinatown will then be moved over here. But you notice this is these buildings are just one deep, one row, and what you cannot see is that there is nothing but air underneath them. They're all built on pilings. So that the river, in the wintertime, when it was just doing a moderate flood, would slide up and come underneath the building, right? So it's like the front of the building's hanging on the street, and the ass end of it is sticking out in the air. You can see the river out there, wandering around. It's a sycamore tree, by the way, very very famous sycamore tree. It shows up in a lot of native sycamore. And this is a little bit later, and you notice now, they're waiting for the light to change. Well, they're waiting to try to decide in the manual who has the right of way at a 6th Street intersection. Is it the first guy on the right? Is it the guy who comes from there? But you can see, this is the 18th, I think the map, the photograph I'm thinking about 1856. Those are television antennas.
No, we're way ahead of everybody else. Well, they didn't have any television sets, there was no electricity.
And there were no television stations, but they invented the television antenna here. anticipation of something. Do you know what those are? Liberty poles. Civil War. The way you showed your loyalty to the Union was you erected in front of your business or in front of your house a very tall pole. The higher the pole, the more loyal you were to the Union.
You know, Freud had a lot to say about
that. Okay, sure. There's a Liberty Pole. This was a Union town, and in that alignment, they named things like Union Street, Santa Cruz. Lincoln was named after the assassinated president who had been assassinated the year before. So, you know, a lot of what you see, and these are now substantial. This is going to get bricks here and some other stuff. And then I think we can jump forward to the ultimate, this is the ultimate. The war against the Spanish speaking went on here from 1846 until 1877. They discredited their culture. They have to do all that in order to get the title to the land. To show that the land titles had no
credit and no veracity. You had to prove the whole culture. And that's what they did. In Santa Cruz, they drove the Spanish-speaking across the river into East Santa Cruz. In Watsonville, they drove them out to Whiskey Hill. This is the last lynching of Spanish-speaking people in the history of California, 19th century. Beneath the Water Street Bridge in Santa Cruz, May 1877. At that particular point, the war is kind of called off because the Spanish-speaking are, quote, in their place, as it was said. Santa Cruz was a tough, nasty, Protestant, tight-necked little town. And I don't mean that. No. So the land title issue is a cultural issue as much as it is a legal issue. Really important to keep that in mind. This goes on all over the state. There were 17 lynchings in Santa Cruz County between 1850 and 1877. 17 people, all Spanish-speaking. If your horse was missing the next morning, you went out and they lynched a Mexican. And a lot of the people that end up in jail in the 1850s are young Spanish-speaking males. In fact, I should have brought the photograph. You can look at a photograph taken in 1852. Sheriff's mug book? Wow. A group of marginalized people seeing no hope for the future, getting ground up by all the stuff that they feel is after their culture. Sounds vaguely familiar. Just vaguely. But no. Back off. This is a happy thing. Let's do happy. Well, let's go downtown. Here we are, downtown Santa Cruz, about 1938-39. And once again, one of the things, and I'll sort of conclude with this idea, one of the things, and you know this, who would know this better than people dealing with parcel map? But we are stuck in the spider web of history. History has laid out streets, moved things around, made boundaries, and we're stuck in it. People say, well, we have free will. Hell you do. Go out on Highway 1 and about another hour and a half and see if you got free will. You got no free will. You're going to be sitting in that line of traffic just like everybody else. See, and then you say to yourself, well, why is this? Well, it's because when the Spaniards came through here, that's what they laid out as the main road between the Mission Santa Cruz and out towards San Juan. Well, they could have changed it later. No. See, once you get the parcel maps and everything starts to get rigid, that's what you guys are, the rigid. I mean, I was just standing in the middle of the city and go, what? But it's like, give Santa Cruz its charm. Anyway, this building, of course, was hammered. Most of these buildings were hammered in 1989. We are now getting about the final couple of holes that were left of building spaces are now being rebuilt, and it took 20 years to get over a big fire, the big fire of 1894. It's only taken us 17 to get over most of Loma Prieta, so we're ahead of schedule. And there you are, there's Contemporary. So maybe it's more interesting. Maybe it's like more interesting enough. They took this clock tower, and they took it off a building that was over here and kind of moved it over here. This is a postal office, been there since 1911. This is the new Flatiron building, a bit more bulk to it, creating a shadow in this particular area, which never goes away. There's a mushroom salesman who actually grows mushrooms right along the Well, I made that up. Well, just to final this whole thing, that map, 1866 and 2006, this reality, it's all tied together. So next time you go wandering around in Santa Cruz, and you should go wander around in Santa Cruz, you can go take a walk around. I mean, it's an interesting place. We have living history here. In fact, there are stockbrokers who come in, and unemployed realtors now, who come in from Santa Clara County on weekends and dress up in 60s and 70s stuff and then hang around downtown. It's part of their living history project that they do from over on the other side. And if you're here on Halloween, one final point, if you're here on Halloween, this is the second greatest Halloween capital on the planet. My understanding is Boulder, Colorado is number one, and Santa Cruz is number two. But as people always say, when you know, on Halloween Day, they look around and somebody says, well, it's Halloween. How can you tell? The Mission Santa Cruz. You ready for this? The Mission Santa Cruz. The order to found the Mission Santa Cruz was signed by the Viceroy in Mexico City on October 31st, 1789. This place was founded on Halloween, and we shouldn't be surprised about anything. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. We're running ahead. That's an amazing. That gives me some sense about the compulsive nature of your organization. I've never been to a thing that's ever been ahead. Ahead of time? Who's heard of it? Question. Anybody? San Bernardino County people. How are things going over in Hollister? Pretty good. Great.
Mm-hmm.
Go Baylors. Locals? Locals?
Oh yeah.
Born and raised. Class of.
71.
Children. We're going for our 50th next year.
That's how it occurred.
Yeah. Well, was it fun?
Yeah.
Was it? Well, maybe we'll see. Questions?
Yeah. Did they issue patents for property here like they did with the Newtown? Did they clean a lot of government issued patents?
Newtown. Yeah. Or as we used to call them, the Sutter Bucks. Yeah. In fact, I understand there's a big debate going on right now about the Sutter Buttes and some of the things that may or may not be going on up there, right? Yeah. It's supposed to be the smallest self-contained mountain range in the whole planet or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Northern Hemisphere. It seems to me, and anybody done tidal work here? I don't know the technical part of this. All I know is that they used this map, and then this map was used to confirm there were a lot of quick claim deeds that had moved around. But there's got to be a moment, doesn't there, where everybody says, okay, now, whoever's got them now. And I can't tell you. All I know is there's a hell of a lot of title companies. Anybody from elsewhere in the United States? My assumption has always been the title companies don't have the same juice like in Kansas or some of those places that they do in California. Because of the Mexican grants and because of all of that turmoil that came, people weren't really sure. Anyway, I wish I could answer that question better. Others, what PowerPoint's coming back? Yeah, okay, very good. Probably.
When the Land Commission shut down and the U.S. government took over, did that make the Mexican land grants null and void, or did people still struggle to get them recognized?
There were something like 812 applications made to the commission. By the time the commission closes in 56, 600 of them have been confirmed. And there's another couple hundred. That what the government did was, you made application for your thing. The government took the position that it was fraudulent. If the commission didn't find in your favor, and even if they did, the government automatically appealed. The government attorneys automatically appealed. There were probably a dozen cases in the United States Supreme Court as late as the 80s, as the 1880s. I've been working on a story down in Monterey County at the Point Lobos, and that particular San Jose y Sur Chiquito grant was confirmed in 86, 1886. In other words, a lot of them continued on. And so while those things are grinding through the courts, you got people doing really interesting things. People saying, okay, actually buying property on the come, as they say in gambling, okay, I'll pay you $100 for this property. If the title proves out that you own it, I'll pay you another $5. And you got those deals going everywhere. In fact, the one in Monterey County, my God, by the middle 80s, they had gotten really close to getting the title confirmed, the people who supposedly owned it. Joseph Emery from Emeryville, actually, was one of the owners. And at that particular point, they went out and got all the settlers together. And they said, okay, here's the deal. You don't testify against this. And we'll sell you the property you're on for whatever you would have had to pay the United States government if it had not proven out it was homestead, right? I think it was like $3 an acre or something. They all bought into it. They all signed this agreement, and they put the agreement and registered with the county of Monterey. Now, they get clear title. Now they turn around. What do? They don't sell it to them for that price. They jacked up the price. They doubled it. A war broke out. I mean, there were people who had been living on these places for 40 and 50 years who felt that they'd been treated rather badly. A lot of bad blood. This retards the development of California considerably. I mean, I got to tell you, though. And it also helps explain, as you probably also know, the large parcels. I mean, these Mexican grants, 44,000 acres, right? So you start out with 44. Let's say you cut it into tens. Well, you get 4,400. That's still a big piece of ground. Then the lawyers get it, and they speculate. They don't move in and build a house. So all of a sudden, you've got big parcels of land which continue to move through the system, which, when they go into ag, require big chunks of labor. That's why we've got agribusiness here. We don't have a self-sufficient, diversified family farm with 80 acres like they had elsewhere. We've got monster pieces of property. And then a lot of it comes because of the legacy of the Mexican grant and the stuff that happened in the 50s and 60s. So, want to hear a Kern County joke? No, I won't. I did a lecture on the Klan, actually. I did a lecture on the Ku Klux Klan in California in the 1920s, Sunday night. Saturday night. And I had to mention Kern County because Kern County was the center. We had a Klan here as well, but they have more Klansmen in Kern County. And I'll just leave it at that. What? Yeah. Merle Haggard, can you say it? No. But Buck died, right? Didn't Buck die recently?
Yeah.
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 Wow.
Can you
have
the
Do I know how the
railroad ended up with the
It's a huge convoluted story, and actually the railroad ends up with part of it, and then of course the Seaside Company gets the end result of that. It's not a straight line story. We didn't have, for example, some of you out in the valley and other places, you have the alternate sections per mile that the government would pay a railroad to do, right?
Yeah.
Didn't do that here because they didn't have the private property. So what they did is they gave alternate sections in San Benito County. Do you know about the Southern Pacific lands down New Iberia down that way? Mm-hmm. Oh, they gave them alternate. Sure. They Southern Pacific, they didn't have, you put a railroad through here, you don't have public domain to go, right? So he said, okay, we don't have public domain, but we'll give you some land out in San Bernardino County, which may or may not be worth very much. And you got parcels in your county that are down there. They're still. Now, they didn't build the railroad when they claimed they were going to. So did Southern Pacific give them the property back? I don't think so. I can't give you the straight line, easy answer to that question. But that there is still a debate, as you may know, about the ownership of that property. There are still people in the county and in the city of Santa Cruz who believe that the Seaside Company does not own a lot of the land that they currently claim. I don't get into any of those things. I don't. I stay away. Contemporary stuff scares the hell out of me. Yeah, comment, question?
Yes, do you know any French history?
The French?
History? No, France.
Okay. Apparently not.
There was a fellow named Jacques Rousseau, who was a social theorist back then in the 1770s.
Yeah.
He was like a cadastral technician.
Whoa!
Did you not?
Rousseau was a cadastral technician.
For 2 years.
It sounds like something that you would get to go to the doctor for. Yeah,
after 2 years, he quit because he found the people he was working with were drunks, uneducated, smelled bad, unshaven, loud, pitch fights, and basically didn't want to come back to work for 2 years.
He's saying this. I'm not saying this. What county are you from, sir? Okay. Anything else? Any other? Okay, well, you've been very patient. Thank you very much. I think there's a PowerPoint presentation in your future.
Yes.
Coming? All right.
You really want to talk about karma.
Yeah, well, yeah, I know. I did. So I should be able to get out of here alive. I got to get my gear. Is there a break coming after this? When do you give them a break?
Yeah,
I heard they're bladders, by the way. I'm very good at this. Let me intrude for your bladder. I hear their bladders are beginning. You know, like a balloon that gets infected. I can hear them.
They have
less than
bladders.
So when is it over? Because I got to get my gear out here.
We have a little in between presentations program here.
Okay.
Sharon is going to talk to you about something before the PowerPoint breaks.
Can I? I'll crawl around.
Yeah, just go ahead.
You don't have to try
not be too intrusive.